This meeting is called to order. Please call the roll.
Director Davis.
Here.
Director Holtaway. Director Klipstein. Director Maglione.
Here.
Director McElroy.
Here.
Director Payne. Director Riley. Director Romano.
Here.
Chairman Moore.
Here. Five constitutes a quorum, so we're able to do business. This meeting has been advertised and applied to the Open Public Meetings Act. Adequate notice has been given by posting in the bulletin board here and advertising in the required newspaper throughout the year. Who just joined us? Hello, who just joined us?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa, please rise for the rest of us for the salute of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, our first order of business is approval of the November 3rd meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve? Mr. Backward, have a second?
Second.
And Mr. Maglione. Any questions? Call the roll.
Director Davis.
Yes.
Director Holtaway.
Here.
Director Klipstein. Director Maglione.
Yes.
Director McElroy.
Yes.
Director Payne. Director Riley. Director Romano.
Yes.
Chairman Walton.
Yes. All right, next up is the chairman's report. Hopefully this will answer some of the questions about what we're doing today and how we got here. So in November, we approved 28 applications for HDC credits. Of those 28 applications, 27 have signed award letters, and we are working on closing those purchases as we speak. So hopefully those will be closed by the end of the year, and we'll be able to hand checks to harm landowners. 34 applications remain unfunded, totaling $10.6 million. We don't have $10.6 million, so we have to figure a way to distribute the money we do have. We also received, by way of open space applications, about $9 million, was that total?
$13
million of open space applications. Open space program is administered by the Highlands Council, not the bank. The subcommittee of the council for landowner equity and compensation recommended to the full council that we purchase open space applications for properties that were in the immediate area of the PSE&G power line, which was the main thrust of the mitigation funding we received from PSE&G. So we funded about $6 million worth of open space projects.
Is
that correct? 2.7. Okay. So that left us, we decided the rest of it would go to HDC credits. So from the previous approvals, we have $122,000. In penalties, we have collected as a council $204,000. We got a grant from the Federal Highlands Conservation Act totaling $2.42 million. And we have $9.61 million remaining in PSEG mitigation funding, which means we have approximately $12 million left. The committee recommended funding an additional 18 properties, and that will be what we will approve today in the resolution on the agenda. That will be an additional 700 acres of reserve. I'm sorry, here it is. $2.7 million was used to fund five open space applications, which were in the PSEG right-of-way, which was part of that mitigation criteria. That leaves us $6,108,000 for HDC purchases. We are going to keep in reserve $3.5 million to use for matching funds for the federal grant program, which we expect to be continued next year, and also for potential future purchases of HDC credits. There was, based upon the point scenario, one property that whose point value made the cut, but because of the cost, it would have exceeded our available funding. So we did not offer, or will not offer as part of this resolution, to purchase that property. But should there be money left over, either from HDC applications that do not close, or from other revenue that comes in, we will revisit that property. That will be the next one that this bank would be presented to purchase. Below that are other properties that will have to simply wait until there's more funding for us to allocate. So again, in round one, the initial purchase program, which was for hardship, we funded $8.3 million, purchasing a little over 518 credits, preserving 603 acres. In November, again, we offered $9.5 million, $9.6 million in funding, purchasing another 597 plus credits, preserving another 948 acres. And proposed today is another $6.1 million, purchasing another 381.75 credits, preserving another 694 acres. So that's what's on our agenda today. Any questions from members of the bank board? Okay. Executive Director's report, Ms. Nordstrom.
Yeah, I just have one item to follow up on some of the things that you said. When I read the minutes from the last meeting, I saw that Director Maglione had some questions about the Highlands Conservation Act. So I know you're happy to know that they have awarded us the $2.4 million for this round. We are now the lead agency for the state of New Jersey, which means if they have money to give out for New Jersey and we have good applications, which we do, we will get that money, presumably. And we are well positioned to get money in the next funding round. So we're happy.
How often do those rounds occur?
Well, actually, I have a whole little crib sheet for you that Carol Dickton put together that I will give to you. In theory, it should be every year. It hasn't been. But, you know, with Rodney Frelinghuysen, who sponsored the bill now and, you know, chairing the budget committee, we're hopeful that it may happen more often than in the past.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Jersey City?
Pardon me?
Jersey City.
Oh, Jersey City. Yes, in your my director's report, we made a note on the status of the Jersey City TDR receiving grants. It was approved by the Jersey City Council on March 8th. We were awaiting the signed agreement, which just came in an hour ago. So we're good to go with them.
So again, going back to when the Act was passed, the funding mechanism that the Act created was a robust marketplace of ATC credits. So a landowner in my beloved Hunterdon County would get 10 credits. A developer who wanted to build 100 units in Jersey City would only be allowed to build 90. He would again go buy those 10 credits and be able to build his 100. The fundamental flaw in the Act was it did not allow this bank board or the council to designate receiving areas, only areas from which we could take the credits, which were established by the regulatory taking of the Act, the regulatory zoning in the Act. We've struggled to find a willing recipient of these ATC credits. Jersey City expressed interest. We were skeptical, but they have followed through every step of the way, and they may become the first municipality to become a receiving zone for ATC credits, which would mean that if some developer wants to build more units than what Jersey City will allow, they would come to the marketplace and go to our list of homeowners and say, all right, I want to buy your credits, and offer a price presumably more than the $16,000 we offer. That's the reason why, again, this bank board offers $16,000, because the fair market rate was assessed at $64,000. By buying at $16,000, we don't interfere, presumably, with that market, but rather leave it to developers to buy freely. That has not happened because there's been no market, there's been no receiving zone. If this works out, we'll begin to have a very small receiving zone, a very small demand, but it's a start. So we will see how that continues. Highlands Development Credit Purchase Program Additional Purchase Council Committee Report. What's that?
That was what you just gave.
All right, fair enough. All right, so next up is our resolution with public comment. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution authorizing, giving authorization to acquire Highlands Development Credits under the Highlands Development Credit Purchase Program?
So moved.
Motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. McElroy. Motion by Ms. Orlando. Any questions from the members of the bank board on the resolution? Any question from the public on the resolution? Mr. Shope, sir, by all means, speak up. And you'll notice there's no clock up, right? It's just you and me.
No, but I see the date. I consider that a hint. So, I wonder if in your solicitations or your in contacts with people who are proposing to sell their development rights to the bank, because right now you're the only buyer, you go through the litany as to how you arrive at $16,000 a TDR credit. I think you, in the interest of fairness and openness, that you should go through the litany, which involves the original work of Integra, which came up with a TDR credit value of $90-some-odd thousand that they reduced by virtue of proposed infrastructure costs to $64,000. Then the Highlands Council, way back when, said 64 is too much, and they cut it to 16, an arbitrary and a totally unsupported assumption. The assumption was they cut it to 16 to incentivize the builders to buy. Well, it seems that that didn't work. Zero would have been a more appropriate assumption. So it is really incumbent upon you to advise all people who come before you proposing to sell their TDR credits to the bank as to how you come to that number, how you come to that highly discounted number, 75% discount, 25 cents on the dollar. Everyone needs to know this, and I would hope that you would make up a fact sheet and submit it to everybody who asks you for paperwork on this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
My name is Tom Wagner. I have two questions. First, I want to make sure I understand something. In 2004, you took away my rights to sell my property.
The legislature and the governor did, yes.
You guys are the governor, as far as I'm concerned, because it's either one side of the fence or the other, and I'm on this side. So, in 2008, you established the amount that was just discussed. I'm an accountant. That means you have a liability, you have to pay people. And I understand where the money comes from and the whole process, how it's gotten to this point. So, what I don't understand is now there are new people in the at the party that have open space that they want to sell. And you'll explain this to me because I don't understand it. If you take my property and you owe me some money and you don't pay me because you don't have the money, okay, when you get the money, I'm confused why you're going to go out and buy something else from somebody else before you pay me, the guy that's been on the hook for 13 years. That's my first question. And then the second question I'll ask and then I'll sit down. The Jersey City potential developers, the developers in Jersey City, how do they approach the remaining, I forget how many you said, 28 or so property owners? Do they call the first guy and say, I'll give you $10, and that guy says no, and they call all 28, the whole list? Are they negotiating with us independent of your involvement? That's my two questions. Thank you.
Sure. I will try my best to answer both, and I would certainly ask staff to correct me if I make a mistake on answering the second. On the first one, when the compensation committee recommended these two programs, right, as they recommended the open space program and recommended modifications to the credit purchasing program, we did not believe that people would want to sell their credits in the number that they did because that it is so much below fair market value. So we have been surprised by the number of applicants and the dollar value of applicants that apply for the credit purchases. So we created the open space program because we thought that we would not have sufficient applicants to buy those credits, so we had the obligation to spend the money that was given to us for the PSC&G settlement to find a way to allocate that money appropriately. The criteria that the money for PSC&G was given to us stipulated in part that it had to go to properties that were in and around the power line that went through the Highlands. So when We got the volume of applications for credits and for open space. The compensation committee recommended that we do as much as we can to buy credits. Clearly, people are basically making the assessment that after 13 years, this is the only time you're going to get any kind of funding out of the government to correct the wrong. So they jumped at the opportunity. However, because the rule had been approved and the open space program had been created, we had an obligation to follow through on that, an obligation because of the stipulations on the money for mitigation to buy those properties in the mitigation zone. In short, we had to buy them because we offered to. And we only offered to because we didn't think people would come first for credits. So, to their credit, the full council, Democrats, Republicans, environmentalists, and non-environmentalists from all sides agreed that we have a moral and ethical obligation to buy these credits because of the impact of the act and the taking of the act. What is missing is the legal requirement to buy the credits and the legal requirement to compensate landowners. The courts have found that it was just simply Zuber owning, and I'm sure my friends on the right, my right side of the room will correct me if I'm wrong on that, but it was Zuber owning or Uber owning zoning, and there's no obligation to compensate you folks. I think that's wrong, both from a legal standpoint and an ethical standpoint, which is why I've endeavored to do what I do here at the bank and on the council. So that's why we are able to buy open space and not buy credits. I mean, I like that answer, but that is in short the answer. As to the mechanics of how the bank credit program will work and how we will interact with developers, I don't know. We have not gone down that road. I don't know if we've developed a set of rules and criteria and mechanics to make that happen. I don't know if they go to the list of people who want to sell at $60,000. I don't know if they call up Mr. Chope and say, let me buy your credits for $90,000. We don't know. That's a good question, and we should get you an answer to that. And I will hope that we have some sort of thought process or something that we can give you a good answer at the next council meeting. Okay?
Yes. Part 1A. Where can I read that settlement that you referred to? And where can I read the court's conclusions that you referred to?
Well, I'm sure one of our staff members would be happy to send to you the agreement regarding the PSE&G mitigation funding. I imagine we have that probably at our fingertips. As to the various court rulings that have wind their way through state court on this, I don't know those specific cases. Maybe our attorney, maybe someone on our staff does. I'm sure that some of your folks there to your left.
Well, you just relied upon them,
Just because I've read them and I'm familiar with what they say doesn't mean I can tell you exactly what the cases' names are or when or the exact case they were adjudicated.
So can your staff?
Someone will get that to you, yes. You will verify that.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Anyone else wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes.
Deborah Post, Chester Township. First of all, Mr. Chairman, what happened to the council's intent to reprice the TDR to eliminate the over 80% discount to fair market value? That was under discussion several years ago, and there was an intent and by several members that this was going to be looked at, and then guess what? It vaporized. You stopped even looking at it. So I want to know what happened to the intent to reprice this to a fair level. Second, in response to the gentleman's, I too would like to know what court case actually said that we weren't to have compensation. There is no court case that addresses that particular point. There are court cases that say there's no violation of due process. There has never been a takings case that was ripened and taken anywhere. So to say that the courts have ruled on this is truly false, and you really shouldn't be saying it. The Highlands Act itself does say, and my memory is challenging me here, I think it's Section 7, that compensation should be paid to those who have lost value of their properties. It's right there up front. It talks about the special circumstances. It's there. So please, do not say that there's no requirement to pay us. There's absolutely a requirement to pay us. There's just no money to pay us. So let's be clear what we're talking about here. And finally, I want to know whether there has been full and clear disclosure to each individual applicant for these TDRs of what the actual pricing was. How many of them know that the fair market value of that TDR is $96,000, discounted by 30% for infrastructure costs, which may or may not apply depending on the property, discounted for another 75% because the council felt like it, for absolutely no reason. There's a 75% discount of fair market value here, and I want to know whether that's been disclosed. Are you going to tell me it was disclosed in the technical report that's buried in the bottom of your Highlands Act that I don't believe even half your staff has read, and I know most of the public isn't aware of? Have they been pointed to that page and said, gee, look at this. This is how we determined your pricing. Has there been any full and complete disclosure? Because if there hasn't been, you're probably violating the law.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on the resolution? Or anything else for that matter? Lastly, this resolution today. Right now. All right, very good. We'll close public comment. Any other questions from our bank board members? All right, call the roll.
Director Davis.
Yes.
Director Holtaway.
Yes.
Director Klipstein.
Yes.
Director Maglione.
Yes.
Director McElroy.
Yes.
Director Payne. Director Riley.
Yes.
Director Romano.
Yes.
Chairman Walton.
Yes. Now we open the floor to public comment on any issue whatsoever. Anybody wish to be heard on any issue whatsoever? Yes, sir.
Dave Piper from the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'd just like to make a request that once these projects close and we're all done with the transactions, that the properties be mapped on your interactive map so we can see the evolving pattern. And it would be nice to be able to click on those and see how many credits were involved. I think that would be good news next time we start thinking about open space planning. So that's my request. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyway.
My name is David Choate, and I'm looking at your resolution, and you say a couple of things in it, such as, well, for instance, based on the owners satisfied that the acquisition eligibility and priority criteria established by NJAC and so forth, apparently there are criteria that have to be met by this board before an application is considered. What happens to the properties that do not meet the criteria? What do they get their development rights restored, or what? What happens to those properties that don't meet this criteria? And farmland preservation, et cetera, is not interested in. What happens to those properties that there's no state program to compensate the owners for should they wish to sell it?
That's a fair question, and they fall through the cracks in short, because there's nothing, there's this, or there's nothing. Or there's an open space purchased with their municipality or county or a not-for-profit. Those are the venues that most property owners have at their disposal to sell their property or sell their development rights.
Well,
it doesn't fit into our criteria. It doesn't fit into an open space program from a county or municipality or a not-for-profit.
Right.
Then you're quite right in your pointing question that they fall through the cracks. And hopefully there will be some way to try to fill that hole. The open space program that we created was one avenue that we looked at to try to fill some of those gaps. You raised a fair point.
Well, of course, ultimately, some of it could end up in the courts as a taking.
Certainly, anybody who wants to go down that road is certainly at the courts are at their disposal, absolutely.
So,
fund it?
Thank you, pardon?
Never mind.
So it's just you're cherry picking, and that's understandable because you have very few dollars to pick other than a few baskets of cherries. And the rest of us are just out in the cold with basically no place to go, or so it seems.
What's your next?
Terry Wallace, Butler, New Jersey. I just want to thank you for your hard work. I understand these people's frustrations, and because I've been coming to these meetings for a long time. But for me and my family, I'm happy to be moving on. Something is better than nothing. And you guys are doing the best you can under the circumstances. So keep up the good fight. And people do appreciate it. Appreciate all of your work. Everybody sitting up there.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kind words. Yes. I'm sorry, well, she had her hand before you did. I want to hear from you because I want to make. I get nervous when you're not here.
Mr. Shep just made an interesting point. You said you're glad to let any of us apply for a takings at our leisure. So I'm going to suggest, why don't you fund that? You know it'll cost over $1 million to ripen a takings case. So why doesn't some of this money that's in your fund, instead of putting it into private partnerships and giving it to the conservancies, why don't you put aside, earmark some of it for takings funding?
Because we're not allowed to by law.
Oh, I think you are.
Ms. Bright, by all means, you're next.
Thank you. Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I know that you're now receiving money from the Highlands Act, the Federal Highlands Act, and possibly there might be forest legacy funds as well coming. And I hope that all of you would take the opportunity to contact the appropriate congressperson. There's basically all the New Jersey congresspeople, except Frelinghuysen, who's on the Appropriations Committee, signed a letter called the Dear Colleague Letter asking for robust funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. As you know, the Highlands Act money comes from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and so does the Forest Legacy money. There is also a bill in the House, and the number slips my mind right now. I think it's H.R. 502, but that don't write that down. Anyway, that is to permanently reauthorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which expired a year or so ago, and it's now is under a three-year timetable. It's been reauthorized for 3 years. I think it expires in 2018. And so in order to have consistent funding for these programs, that program needs to be permanently reauthorized, and there is a bill in Congress right now to do that. And I should have brought which legislators have already signed on. I know Lo Biondo from South Jersey has signed on. Congressman Smith, both Republicans from South Jersey, have already signed on to the reauthorization bill. And a couple of others have, but certainly not everybody from New Jersey. I think Josh Gottheimer may have signed on to the reauthorization. So I would urge you to try to get as many people to sign on to that as possible, because that will, you know, mean whether that bill is actually going to get reauthorized in Congress or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on any issue whatsoever? Last chance. All right, with that, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Return.